Now, as you physically and psychically relax, settling in to relaxation, abiding within relaxation, not trying to relax, you're just releasing the need to be tense. That's what relaxation is. Notice, if you can, there's a threshold in which relaxation takes you into the sacred. A moment in which the world of normalcy, meaning the world of objects and subjects, our normalcy, becomes too quiet to persist. Just play with that. Don't fret if that threshold isn't reached. It doesn't matter. But there is a threshold. Our willingness to surrender the fluctuations of consciousness and mind, just not to focus on that. The edges come off a little. They soften. The edges soften. And something large comes in its place. Not an object, but a sensing. It's not that your consciousness has lost its footing. It hasn't. You haven't been diminished in a sense of being erased. But you're being held rather than holding. Don't work it from the inside out by trying to make it happen. Just relax, that's all. Diminish the tension. as the boundaries soften, the tension created boundaries. Let the forms and outlines of your body become amorphous, not quite as distinct. Let it melt the exactness, the definition, the line of yourself, melt into the surround. Deepen into the sacred. Abide in the sacred. From this vantage point, are you having the experience of awareness? Or is awareness having the experience of you? Sense it. You certainly know what it feels like to be aware in control of your awareness. But as you soften, the sense of you diminishes and awareness is uncontrolled. Sense yourself being seen rather than seeing from yourself. This has existed long before you came into form. And it has held you through the duration of your life and will continue. Seen from one vantage point, you are being held by the sacred at all times. from a different vantage point, you are the sacred that holds all things. Infinitely still, unmoving, but holds all movement. The seat of aliveness itself. Conditioning is just repetition. It's the past living upon the past. So the mind, which is the seed of conditioning, is being held by the unconditioned. In patience, in love. Without opinions or judgment. To recognize this is perhaps the first time you'll recognize love, true love. Because no one or nothing wants anything from you. You, each of us, are being blessed by stillness. Aliveness only wants your life. It wants your aliveness to meet it so that you both can know each other. And the conditioned part of us is the resistant part, the part that wants its aliveness to be from the past, the mind. So releasing the need to depend upon the past is the emergence of life to itself. Am I having the experience of awareness? Or is awareness having the experience of me? There's a felt sense of being seen, surrounded by seeing, not intrusively, but held by seeing, caressed by seeing. Bathed in seeing. Where do we want to take refuge? In that which does not see, or in that which does? Another welcomed question. Am I moving through the world? Or is the world moving through me? Am I an isolated part of life? Having the experience of life? Or am I part of that experience, that display of life? Moving along with it? sustain our perspective away from the self-centered perspective we carry with us. Encouraging life to be seen in totality rather than piecemeal. What is changing in what is changeless? Sense it. You know what is changing. Everything that is conditioned, all appearances, everything that's infused by past recognition. What is changeless is that which holds conditioning, but is missed because it contains no certain pleasure. What is changing and what is changeless? a poem by Lisel Mueller called What Is Left to Say. The self steps out of the circle. It stops wanting to be the farmer, the wife, the child. It stops trying to please by learning everyone's dialect. It finds it can live, after all, in a world of strangers. It sends itself fewer flowers. It stops preserving its tears in amber. How splendidly arrogant it was when it believed the gold-filled tomb of language awaited its raids. How it frequents the junkyards, knowing all words are secondhand. It has not chosen its poverty, the new fragility. It did not want to fall out of love with itself. Young, it celebrated itself and richly sang itself, seeing only itself in the mirror of the world. But now it cannot return. It assumes its place in a universe of stars that do not see it. Even the dead no longer need to be at peace. Its functions now is to applaud. So don't startle yourself back awake. Just be quiet. Be quiet. Sit still. The meditation is over, but not your life. Is this segmented into practice and not practice? Does the sacred call to you beyond a weekend retreat? Let your eyes open and be soft within that opening. What you'll notice if you allow yourself to enter. Is that there'll be a renewed acquaintance with yourself, having yourself be seen rather than see. At some point, there will be, or likely, a shift out of the certainty of what you've always been, into a new way of understanding yourself, a shift of identity. It's not imposed. It's not fantasy. It's not convincing yourself. It's not an argument. It is a seeing, an absolute certainty of seeing, like I see you. There is no doubt within that certainty. There's no convincing. The movement, the spiritual movement, is the movement from certainty of self as we know it to be to the uncertainty of self as we know it to be. And as the sense of what we have known ourselves to be becomes less certain, awareness expands. That's what creates the uncertainty, is that we see now from a farther reach. It's like being on top of a mountaintop and seeing the surround rather than behind a boulder where you can't see anything but it. And it's as convincing as that vista, the new vista of seeing. That's why it has to go at each of our own individual speeds and each of our own individual times. Or else it's escapism. Or hypnosis. We're coming to a reality. We're coming to a perspective of reality that has been hidden from us because of how we hide what we want from life. When we want only the objects, we see only the objects. And we are an object within that seeing. And as long as the objects hold the vitality of our direction, of our worth, we're enamored by the pleasures and pain that it gives us, then our focus will be exclusively on the objects and ourselves as an object. But as we tire of that relationship of subject and object, because it doesn't last, it's an experience I'm having, and as soon as I turn to the left, it's gone. And I have to keep turning back to the right in order to have it again. And instead of taking one teaspoon of ice cream, which gives us the whole sample of the carton, I have to eat the whole carton to keep remembering what the sample tastes like. At some point's enough. And when it's enough, it's not a forced enough. It's the mind just doesn't dwell upon the things of the world as its only salvation. And then the energy that went into that investment of objects becomes available to see the objectlessness of awareness. Life force was focused and magnified around the objects, making them more important than they ever were, or could possibly be, and ourselves as part of that display. It can't hold up. It can't sustain itself. Life cannot sustain itself when it's forever falling apart. Its nature is to fall apart. And therefore, the nature of us as objects and the world as objects will fall apart. But what's it falling apart into? What holds that falling? Wouldn't we rather be there than in the soot and dust of its residue? And at a crucial moment, often unexpected, there's the full acknowledgement of your true worth. Of your true expanse. That is irrevocable. Once you have it, you can't go back and pretend you never had it before. You can fall back into this daydream life that most of us live, but you can't get out of the knowing of what waits you when you drop that focus. It's irrevocable. And so then one's life changes direction and starts encouraging itself in alignment with that, rather than in alignment with our self-protection. Doesn't matter anymore. That isn't the loss of self-worth. That's the change of the definition of what self is. Herein, everything is possible. The life of wonder. Unrestrained, inwardly unrestrained, doesn't mean that we become idiots. Okay, so we'll have another walking period, and if the bell could ring at 20 after 11. Okay, most of us walk with awareness when we walk, right? And we monitor our speed so that we can keep that focused awareness and all that. Okay, so for the rest of the day, I want you to forget about the speed you're traveling. And I want you to walk within awareness, rather than with awareness. With awareness, within awareness doesn't rely on any particular form or strategy. As long as there's the acknowledgement that you're being held within the walking, okay? So if that's possible for you, and if it's not, that's also okay. Walk with as much awareness as you can, and if you can walk within awareness, fine. If you walk with awareness, that's also okay. So there's no competition here or gradient or I'm in the fourth grade and he's in the seventh grade and I want to... No, nothing like that, okay? Okay, now enjoy yourself.